So joining me are Tim, we met, and Steve, David, and our new player is, we have a really insightful industry observer with Tim and two leaders of the public sector's divisions of two of the major cloud brands. So to keep us honest, we've added an attorney from Edwards Wildman, Larry Friedman. So since we haven't met you, why don't you introduce yourself, Larry, tell us what you're doing here and how you fit in.
I'll try to play nicely. I'm a partner at the law firm of Edwards Wildman and Palmer, which is about a 600 lawyer firm, soon to be about a 1,000 lawyer firm, based all over the country and all over the world. And we focus on cloud computing. We have a group devoted to that area. We come at that space from both a regulatory perspective, data privacy and security. We specialize in that area. We also do a lot of deals. We have probably one of the country's leading mid-market venture capital, private equity, and transaction practice. We've done between 250 and 300 deals in that space each of the last 3 years. And a big chunk of those deals have been in the cloud, fiber, and data center space. So we come at it from a regulatory, from a transactional, and from a dispute perspective.
And welcome. So let's start with Steve with the first question. We'll just go right down the panel. And let's keep the answers really brief. So from your experience directly or from observing in the public sector, government, military, what has been so far the greatest single best thing that's happened, the best accomplishment so far in terms of adoption of cloud?
So I think the greatest single thing that we've done in public sector is probably delivering a region for a very sensitive national security customer on time, under budget, and beginning the transformation of a community that requires such analytic capability, speed and agility, and all the things I've talked about. And complementing that would be the provisional authorizations of levels 1 all the way up to level 5 on the unclassified side. For our DoD business as well.
Okay. Dave, let me skip to you and same question.
Without question, it goes back to 2010 when we first were able to show and prove to the government that our security met their requirements and in many cases exceeded their requirements. Once the government understood that, that really was a sea change, and it allowed to start both the federal and state and local government adopting our Google Apps platform, this drive for work capability that we talked about. And from there, we believe that's going to open the doors to what we're doing with the Google Cloud platform as well.
Okay, thanks. Tim, as an observer?
Yeah, no, I would say I'll go even further up the funnel and look at how society, I do get the chance to meet with municipalities who have started just at the mass transit side or even just with public parking, city-managed parking,
where they've started to use the cloud and, of course, mobile apps, mobile websites to be able to manage some of these assets and just how that dispels some of the assumptions that at the highest level maybe members of city council mm-hmm. have had. It's fascinating to me how the rubber is meeting the road quite literally. We're able to prove or disprove many of the assumptions, not just political, but also in the government services.
Thanks. Larry, last word.
Sure. Two perspectives, macro and then legal. From a macro perspective, I think the fact that the government has started to focus on cloud, embrace it to some degree through policies that basically say cloud first, through some of the specific things that some of the other panelists are saying, I think that's sort of a huge success that the government has initially said yes to cloud. I think from a legal and regulatory perspective, starting to kind of harmonize some of the thorny issues associated with security and the federal law known as FISMA and the program designed to implement that known as FedRAMP, which is far from perfect, but at least is a governmental step in the right direction to kind of make this happen through policies that would standardize and harmonize some of these areas. Those are two of the biggest successes.
Okay. So let's go to the other side. What has been the biggest disappointment? I'm sure you have to be politically correct answering this, but where's the area for greatest improvement that we still see in the public sector? Let's start with David on this one.
I think it's really moving even faster than they have, right? For all the agencies that have stepped out and moved forward, there are examples of those that haven't, and that are clinging to the past or clinging to requirements that are just not based on the reality of today's technology. So I think that would be the major disappointment, but I'm very hopeful that it's going to be very difficult for those agencies or those stalwarts to keep holding on to what they're holding on to, because this wave, they're either going to decide to go with what's happening, or they're going to get hit by this wave and it's going to overcome them.
Steve?
Okay, I just want to make sure you're bouncing around. Okay, good. Yeah. So I think I agree with that. I think getting organized, developing vision and strategy around commercial cloud adoption has probably been a little bit slower and, again, more methodical than I think any of the cloud providers would have hoped for where we are into this journey. I often say the difference between genius and competence is genius recognizes that change is occurring. Competence is merely the ability to adapt to change once it's universally recognized and in motion. And I think within government, we sort of lost the genius part, and we need to recapture that. And we've gotten comfortable in that seam of just being very competent and following some of the best practices that have proven out in industry. And this may be one of those cases that we're approaching it from a competent perspective, when a little more genius would perhaps facilitate greater movement.
Very interesting. Tim?
I mean, I think it's part of my previous answer is I'm seeing government organizations and many large commercial organizations who are not stopping to simply understand the wants, the needs, the expectations of those who receive their services. And they are still looking at the fulfillment of their assumed wares through the cloud. And I think to your point, that overinvestment, that misinvestment today, without stopping to look at the true big data opportunity they have right this second to understand what the needs are, what the coming expectations are going to be, is what's going to stall them, and many of them are going to get run right over. And again, I think you see what's happening in Hong Kong right this second. Yeah. Everybody just in a matter of 24 hours going over to Fire Chat and saying you can shut down social media and the internet, but you can't shut us down. There are ways to prepare for those moments. But they just built everything around their own assumptions and what they knew, not what they could have learned.
Right. Larry?
I think in terms of disappointments, that the government, and I was impressed by the statistic one of you folks put up about $85 billion as government consumer of IT and the leading IT spend in the world, that the government has been following and not leading, and has been moving a little bit through triage as much as proactivity. And that is a disappointment, but I will say that some of the companies I work with that are not quite as large as Google or Amazon, but are entrepreneurial, that actually creates an opportunity when you're talking to federal government agencies in different parts of the country or elsewhere, for them to be proactive and work with the government agencies in those areas and say, did you think of this? Did you think of that? So it's been a disappointment that the government has been a follower, but it creates an opportunity for some of the entrepreneurial cloud providers.
Thank you. Does anybody have a question right now from here? You have one? Okay, because I have more, but we'll. You guys have been very patient. I'm going to give you a heads up. I'll ask one more, but go ahead. All right, hang on, I'll do one more, and then we'll get to this. There's one more that was relevant to what we heard. Let's start with Tim on this one. Just curious about where each of you have seen the greatest adoption of some kind of mobile cloud play. What's been the single biggest success you've seen in sort of the mobile cloud movement? Let's start with Tim.
I think beyond social media, I think some of the things, having worked with Starbucks, watching what they've done to increase the throughput. You know, the amount of people they have to work on the line, the amount of product they're serving, just by matching two behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they look at it, it's behavior first, technology second. People were looking at their phones before they ordered their coffee. People were looking at their phones after they ordered their coffee. Who the hell are we to get people to require people to reach in their pocket and pull out a piece of plastic? That sure sounds like something, I think, to many people as this luxury from for a Starbucks customer. But what it's done to transition their business, what they've done, it's not the sheer number of people who are using a mobile app to pay for their coffee. It's the sheer impact it's had on their business to sell more product and to do such with more frequency as well. It's quite phenomenal. It's a largely untold story because you don't see that in the earnings reports.
Right.
But it's to me, it's a harbinger of what anybody who has multiple locations, and that it includes government organizations, what they can do to make their business more efficient and more profitable, I would say, over time as well.
Fascinating. David?
I think with mobile is where the leapfrog story that I was talking about, kind of going from being 15 years behind to being up to date almost immediately, proves itself the most. So I can give so many examples, but I think the one that comes to mind most immediately is NOAA, the weather agency, part of the Department of Commerce. When they switched to a back end for collaboration and communication like we have, it changes their capability for what they can do with mobile. So before, the back end they had didn't allow them to use mobile devices other than BlackBerries. Now they're standardized on the iPhone, and that completely changed the world for these 25,000 employees. And my wife works for the federal government. She's one of the ones that's stuck with a BlackBerry, so she has like three phones. She has one for home and one for talking, and then one that she uses just for email and the BlackBerry. I mean, it's crazy that government employees are still working this way today. But when you put a back end in place, it enables not only the use of the devices, but then it enables that type of collaboration where somebody is working from home on a document using an iPhone. Another person is using an Android tablet at the office. Another person is on a Windows phone somewhere else. They're all working on the same document, and then they're doing a video chat together over a Google Hangout. It's completely different, and it was almost an overnight change going from BlackBerries and almost, you know, a kind of 90s, early 2000s type of collaboration to up to date with today.
Okay. Larry?
I think my perspective is a little bit more from the commercial space, although this may apply to government as well.
Sure.
So the mobile has created the value proposition and the demand for cloud. As you know, Marty, we're representing right now a customer migrating to the cloud, and one of their big reasons for wanting to do that was that they had multiple locations and users that needed common access to a unified set of data and information to share, in that case, in the real estate development business. And it was almost a no-brainer that impelled them to kind of move to the cloud. So I think mobile creates the value that is one of the value drivers that will lead customers to want to adopt cloud.
Thank you. Last word from Steve.
Yeah, it's from a ubiquity perspective, I say the where's mobility play is everywhere, because it's hard to define the seam now between your traditional work environment and workloads that are moving to the cloud and the mobile devices that access that same content. You can be in staff meetings and you're on your mobility device accessing the same content. You could be on a Kindle accessing and downloading movies, books, or whatever, which is a huge use case. You can be anywhere. And that's the beauty of both what cloud can help provide to enhance mobility and what mobility can help do to drive cloud adoption. So I don't see it as an either or prophecy or any one specific use case or sets of applications. It's hundreds of thousands of customers in 190 different countries. It's a marketplace where ISVs can load their apps and have them available for other organizations to bring into their environments and leverage. And So I it's the ubiquity of mobility and the integration in the cloud as a whole that's really helping drive and fuel transformation.
Thank you. Jay.
You all had spoken about significant successes and progress in terms of bringing this type of approach to the civil side of the federal government. And I think I'm familiar, General, with the one case in national security that you're referring to. And so really, there's a huge nut to crack, right, in sort of the SCI community. You're familiar with EyeSight and some of the custom platforms employed there. So that's an area I'm interested in terms of how can you take this tremendous momentum that's going on the civil side and begin to crack that sort of other side of government, that other nut to crack, right? How can you begin to get the confidence and get past this customized private cloud mentality and begin to break the walls down to bring these benefits, right, to that side of the house?
Sure. So, first, it's delivering the capability and putting it in the arms of the community that you're talking about that it serves. And of course, that's been done already. And now the transition and the maturity model that I spoke of in the presentation of how now do you go in each of those customers who have the same types of system integrators that in some cases are on board, in other cases see that their model is being challenged, the cheese is moving a little bit, and begin to see and work with them on how their role above the hypervisor is as important as the shift in mentality from the end customer's perspective and how it's all brought together. The community wanted a commercial cloud. They wanted an entity that thought differently about delivering IT. That's why they put that RFP out. They didn't want the classic delivery model that has been the legacy for the past several decades. And it's an adjustment now for a community to make, but we're beginning to see partners shifting and realizing that it's here to stay. There's been a huge investment in it, and it's not going away. And I can either try to wait it out, or I can try to fight it. Or again, using the analogy I did in the presentation, I could be part of the revolution to drive it, or I can wait and be part of the movement, in which case it's hard to differentiate myself. And so finding those right use cases that build the confidence measures, show the value of it, both from a mission perspective as well as others who are at that entry fee level of, I can save a lot of money, this is really good. And then they get beyond that and go, wow, this is more than saving money. This is really about enhancing my mission and what I can do with information like I spoke about in sort of the Solder City example. And there's a maturity that we have to go through to get there. But the journey of 1,000 miles starts with that first step. And I think we've made it with this community in delivering that platform.
I think the success you've had with HIPAA, and if you look at, for instance, the adoption of Accumulo and these kinds of things in that mm-hmm. space, right, may actually be a good marketing foundation, a good confidence builder in terms of dealing with, say, the security models that may exist in this other space, right, because of the similarities and in terms of the complexity of those models and, people's ability to trust that you can deal with that. So I think that might actually be a foundational element. So anyway, thanks.
Okay. Do you want to add anything, David?
No.
Okay, good. Other question? Okay, let's do one more, and then, because we can catch up a little bit, and we'll take our break, and you can talk to folks in there informally.
Okay.
One of the other, related to interconnectedness of mobile devices, is the amount of data we're collecting now, this whole big data phenomenon, which is another industry buzzword or trend. From your perspectives, where are you seeing the greatest traction for folks harnessing this whole big data concept? Let's start with Larry this time.
Well, again, from my personal perspective, I certainly see it hugely in the government. I'm going to defer to some of the other speakers to kind of talk in more detail about that. But in terms of my practice and my clients and what we're seeing, on the commercial side, it's huge. It's in the SMB as well as in the enterprise space. And it's about not getting as fancy as people think. For one thing, we talk to clients and stakeholders all the time. We don't even like the phrase big data so much because it scares people. Mm-hmm. So we use different words like data analytics or smart information or right. taking advantage of what you got because, and I, in my past, was president and CEO of a medium-sized telecom company and in that capacity had the challenge of managing a business that included a sales pipeline and operations and getting valuable information that would not only tell me what customers were buying and when, but where the kinks were in the operational supply and who was performing and how to sort of react to those things in a simple, direct, timely way would have been hugely valuable for which we would have created value in order to pay for that. So for some of the other cloud providers who are out there who are starting to get into various spaces, certainly it's in the big, sophisticated space with humongous amounts of data. But there's also value for data analytics and taking the information that's there and managing it through technology and through software into a more manageable format that I think the sky is the limit in the SMB commercial space as well.
Okay. David?
Well, I think when you compare, when you look at the government market and segment it into kind of federal and state and local, I think it's very clear that the federal government has the most big data needs. State and local government has it as well. But I think within the federal government, within research, within healthcare, I mean, really across the board at just any agency, there is a big data need. There's also a storage need. There's also a compute need. I think government is an enormous opportunity for big data.
Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, to Larry's point about big data scaring people, it reminds me of the days back when we were using Urchin for web analytics, and somebody walk in the room and be all excited and say, "We're huge in Seychelles today." You know, there's data that you need, and there's data that doesn't really matter. I mean, this sea of data that's coming from us, coming to us, I think is something that you have to understand what it is you're looking for. You have to understand what it means. And when it comes to data analytics, when it comes to data analysts, I think the thing I'm starting to see is this hybrid of a data analyst, someone who is not just a numbers wonk, but is also one great storyteller. And with that, I think I'm starting to see something else come through in the analytics world, and that's data visualization. It's not about tables. It's not about columns of numbers. It's
right.
It's about our ability to look at something beyond an Excel an Excel pie chart to be able to make sense of what data can tell us. And again, I think that the fascinating thing about that is it's not the same across organizations.
Right.
It will be unique to each organization and then the product and the business segments they're in.
Very interesting. Steve, last word.
Yeah, it's hard to pick out any one, right? Because as the panel's talked about, many customers have a dimension of analytics that are integrated within how they use in the dot cloud. I can talk at the break and give you dozens of examples of those. I mean, just off the top of my head, two that come to mind are, NASA JPL.
Right.
Mars rover. They were spending 105 minutes just analyzing and processing, and the turnaround time was only about 15 minutes before they wanted to move the Mars rover, and they basically flipped that on its head by moving the cloud, mm-hmm. where their processing window had shrunk so much that allowed them to spend more time in the planning stages, and it flipped completely. And so they had spent 105 in the planning process, and it was an awesome use case for how NASA JPL was able to take what took hours in terms of gathering all of this telemetry and data and crunching it and then having a narrow window to make a decision, and it inverted by leveraging the cloud and the speed and the agility that it presented. Bristol Myers and the healthcare industry is another example where they were spending using two servers for 60 hours that they ended up going to AWS and spinning up 256 servers and for 1.2 hours and reducing the amount of time that it took for clinical trials at a 64% cost savings. And so there's dozens and dozens, big ones like Netflix, small ones like Bristol Myers, NASA, JPL, they're all significant because they're showing the various use cases in the analytic areas of how small, big, medium, and large organizations are leveraging commercial cloud to improve and enhance their mission.
Terrific. Well, we want to try to get back on schedule, so if we could shorten the break to, instead of half an hour, about 25 minutes for caffeine, calories, conversation. The panelists will stay and talk with you there. Thank you very much. Great opening session.
Thank you.